Welcome to the Beacon Church podcast. We love that you've tuned in. We hope this message not only inspires you, but more importantly, we pray it helps you grow closer to Jesus.
Well, thank you. What a beautiful welcome. I really appreciate that. And I will willingly accept your kind offer to be part of Beacon family. Thank you very much. It's exactly how I like it, so thank you. It is a real privilege and honour to be here, and when Pastor Az and Bex invited me to speak, I've been really looking forward to it. Thank you, team. I've been so excited to be with you, and I've been very prayerful over the last week about being with you. But just to say a little bit, Bex briefly mentioned, but I have been in ministry and pastoral leadership for 27 years, been following Jesus with all my heart for 31 years, and married for 27, so you can kind of see the maths there. and we pioneered and planted a church in New Zealand, grew that, and then a train of circumstances have brought us to Australia. And it's one of those situations where you trust God again for a new start, fresh beginnings. And who knows that Australia is a really great nation, and God is not finished with Australia, the great south land of the Holy Spirit. So we do feel a real sense of burden and calling and excitement for what the Lord wants to do. And we know that the battle is on for Australasia. The battle is on. And so we're excited to partner with the pastors and leaders across this nation, especially the INC movement, to see God do something fresh in this place. You know, I was driving here today, and the Lord put a couple of words in my heart. So I'm going to share those in just a moment. But just to let you know, I'm married to a man called John, and he is a Scottish redhead fireball. And I think you've got him coming in a little while, perhaps. So that'll be exciting. He is my better half. You'll probably like his preaching more than mine, but I'm a lot more fun than him, okay? So there you go. And I tell him that without me, his life would be very boring, okay? Because he would just be so serious all the time. So there you go. So you get the fun half today. I've got two children. My daughter is 19 years old. She lives in New Zealand, so part of my heart is there. And she is studying fashion, and she's really creative. She's beautiful. Will is 17, and he's the tall guy in our family. He towers over John. It's actually hilarious. And he got the height from my side of the family. So he's 6'3", or just on 6'3". So he's quite an expensive member of the family because I have to upgrade his plane ticket every time we fly so he can fit on the plane. An extra $22, thank you, Jetstar, to get him in a seat that fits. And he's a really great chess player. So is there anyone who likes chess here? Well, there you go. If I bring him with me next time, then you'll have to have a game. He would love that. So he's getting pretty good. And who knows, that Australia is actually a really, really great place to learn chess. So he's absolutely thriving here. But as I was driving here and praying, and I've been praying, as I said, most of the week about what God's doing in your midst, I felt the Holy Spirit just said to me, this is a great place to go fishing. This is a great place to go fishing. And I felt like the Lord said, you're going to be constructing some big nets here in this church for the harvest that God wants to bring in. The other thing that I saw the Lord just say to me as I came here was there's like a sign in the Spirit over this church. It's over the church. You know that churches in the Bible are like lampstands before the Lord, right? So over this church, I saw this in the Spirit. It said, under construction. Now, most of us don't really like roadworks and construction. It's quite noisy. It's quite dirty. It's quite irritating. Takes a lot of patience. And often we're like, just would you hurry up and finish this roadwork so I can just move down the road again, right? And I feel like the Lord's saying to this congregation of believers, your church is under construction. So what that is the Lord is asking you for patience, for willingness to be flexible, and for ability to go on the journey of change. Because I'm afraid that what's happening here can't be contained in here. So there is more to come. There are greater things ahead, and we need to be willing as the saints to go on the journey of change. Are you ready to do that? Amen. Amen. So don't be comfortable, okay? Construction is noisy, dirty, and you need to be flexible in Jesus' name. Amen. I also just want to say it has just been such a delight to get to know your leaders, Az and Bex, Pastor Az and Bex. They are great, great people. So I know the Lord must love this house to give you leaders like this. And I am excited to get to know them more. But Pastor Az, you are a great man of God. You've got a gift of faith that is just so obvious on your life. And what a spirit of joy you bring in, a spirit of victory. There's not a lot of people right now that are carrying that overcoming faith. And you really have that in spades. And so I just know that this church is in great hands. And Pastor Beck, what a delight you are. A beautiful, sweet spirit, but sweet and strong at the same time. And there is no getting around what God has told you. You are going to see it come to pass. There is a steely determination along with the sweetness that is going to see God do the most amazing things. So what a couple. If you love your pastors, can you thank the Lord, show them some love, and encourage them this morning? Well, I want to bring a word to you because, you know, as I was thinking about your church, I felt the Lord saying, obviously, that you're under construction, but what do you need as a building block when you're beginning to build something even new in the Spirit? And so I wanted to bring you a message that's going to encourage you, lift you, and hopefully challenge you to step into the new things that God is wanting to do. And so I wanted to talk to you today about the language that we speak. The language that we speak. Look, I don't think we're ignorant or naive to the fact that on the earth, the devil has been released in a new measure to carry out his name. He is called the father of lies and the accuser of the brethren. What do you notice about those monikers? You notice straight away that they're about speech. Both of those relate to his speech. He's a liar and he's an accuser. So the language that he speaks is from the pit of hell, literally. But we are called as Christians to speak a completely different language. And part of how we overcome the devil is what? By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. So there is something that we speak that causes us to access the power of Christ to bring God's will here on earth. But it will take us being willing to speak this language. In Hebrews 11, it says this. This is our core text this morning. Hebrews 11, chapter 1. They're going to put it up on the screen over there, or you can listen to my dulcet tones. Oh, isn't that fresh and crisp and clean? Hebrews 11, 1 says, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. By faith, we understand that the entire universe was formed at God's command, that what we now see did not come from anything that can be seen. You know, have you ever felt like you were talking to someone, you just couldn't connect with them? You were talking away, and it's like, we are just not on the same page. I cannot understand what you're saying to me. Maybe it was your child, maybe it was your husband, maybe it was your wife, maybe it was your teacher teaching you maths and you thought, we are not speaking the same language here. You were really struggling to connect. Well, my sister, Jane, she's my big sis, she lives in Italy. I know, right? Perfect place to go and visit. She lives in Rome, and actually she married an Italian. His name is Domenico Salimbeni. Yes, if you're picturing George Clooney, you're picturing right. He's like a young George Clooney. And when they met, it was like an instant attraction. But he could barely speak English and she could barely speak Italian. So they were trying to communicate, but there was a bit of a barrier and they weren't on the same page. So what did they both do? She immediately tried to learn Italian even more than she was, and he tried to learn English so that they could communicate, so that they could speak the same language. Did you know that the Bible talks about us as Christian believers, about the fact that when we come to Christ and we give our life to him, we're born again. Born again. What does that mean? We're like a baby. Now, when you think about a baby, when a natural baby is born, what does it do? It learns to speak. It starts off with dada or mama, just little words. But slowly as the baby grows up and grows older, it acquires more language. Well, as a Christian who's been born again, we're meant to grow into maturity, and that involves acquiring language. See, we're part of a new kingdom now. We're citizens, not of earth. That's secondary to the fact that we're citizens of heaven. So the number one language that we should learn to speak is the language of the kingdom of heaven, the language of our Father in heaven. And that is the language of faith. And that is the language that he longs for us to speak. This language is a language of possibility. This language is a language that lifts us beyond facts, beyond circumstances, into what is possible. It's a language of hope. It's a language of joy. It's a language of life. It's a language that creates. It's a language of fullness, of life overflowing. It's not limited. It's not small. It's not depressed. It's not despairing. It's full of possibility. This is the kind of language that we're called to speak. You see, I was with Pastor Lisa Bevere a while ago, and she grabbed me with her bony little arms and she squeezed me tight, and she said, "Jillian," she said, "what you need to know, people don't inhabit lands, they inhabit languages." What she was saying is, it's not about where you live in the region, it's actually where you live is how you speak. Where you live is how you speak. And I want to ask each and every one of us today, where are you living? Where are you living with the words that you speak? See, about Jesus, it was said, the words he speaks are spirit and they are life. Bible says we're going to give an account for every word that we speak. So out of our mouths is something very important. What's the language in your mouth? What's the language? Where are you living right now? See, if God spoke to create the word, the world, let there be light, that out of what was not seen came something seen through the spoken word. My friends, how much more should the language that we speak be creating something in our lives? See, we might think, oh, I've just said this, I'm just saying that. No, my friend, every word we will give an account for. Why? Because our words matter. Our words are life. And the tongue is what? The power of both life and death. My friends, it is upon us to be speakers of faith. God longs for people who would speak their new heavenly language. So then, if this is what God wants from us, if this is the language that Jesus died to give us, this faith access, this faith possibility, then what are ways that we can speak it? I want you to walk out here and not be like, oh, that was just a great thought. I want you to walk out of here and go, I'm going to start to do this and this. So I'm going to give you three things that you can do that begin to speak out this language of faith. Are you with me? Give me a loud amen if you're with me this morning. The first thing that we do to speak the language of faith is understand that faith is a language of expectation. What are you expecting? What are you expecting? Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. What are you expecting? What do you believe God for? What's the substance of what you're hoping for? A couple of years ago, I was preaching in the South Island of New Zealand, and I thought it was a pretty good message, but the Holy Spirit must have been getting bored. So he interrupted me, and I got a word for someone in the audience, and, you know, in the congregation, and I said, there's someone here, and the Holy Spirit's just speaking to me that you've been trying to have a baby, but you've lost hope. You've given up all hope, and you said it can't happen. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen for us. And you've lost all your hope. But the Lord says to you, go again, hope again, believe again. Now, I didn't know it, but there was a couple in the congregation, and the woman was standing with her husband, and she grabbed him and said, I feel a fire through my body. That word is for us. That word is for us. God's speaking to us. And so she began to speak a language of expectation. See, their faith began to be one of expectation again. God will do it. God's going to bless us. God's going to give us a child. God's going to do a miracle. Now, I didn't know any of this, but I came back a year later, and this beautiful couple came up to me after the service, and they had a beautiful baby boy in their arms. And they said, "We want you to meet our baby boy, Judah," which of course means praise. And as they gave him to me to hold, they told me the story of what had taken place. But what I saw was a couple that had spoken a language of change, a language that went from despair and doubt and hopelessness and giving up to a language filled of expectation, of faith, of prayerfulness, of belief, and of confession. My friends, what do you expect? What are you hoping for? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, God just needs a substance. He just needs a seed. He just needs something to work with. He doesn't need much, but he just needs a substance. And that substance is what we say. Now, I want to illustrate this a little bit deeper today from a great, great thing that happens at the wedding at Cana in Galilee with Jesus and his disciples. So I'm going to just take us into that moment in John chapter 2, where we begin to see how expectation and speaking out in expectation causes things to shift. It says in John chapter 2, "The next day, there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him, 'They have no more wine.' 'Dear woman, that's not our problem,' Jesus replied. 'My time has not yet come.' But his mother told the servants, 'Do whatever he tells you.' And Jesus then told the servants to fill the jars, and as they filled the ceremonial jars with water, it turned into wine. And this miraculous sign that Jesus performed, the first miracle, all the disciples put their faith in him." Now here we have a situation where there is a need and there is a lack, but Jesus is saying to his mother, "Don't involve me." God is saying, "It's not my time. I don't want to get involved in this." But Mary knows who God is. She knows the nature and character of God. She sees a couple who'll be humiliated, who'll be disappointed, who'll be labeled as failures. She sees a couple whose lives will be marked with this humiliation as they begin their married life. And she's like, "God doesn't leave us in our mistakes. God doesn't leave us in our shortcomings or in our failures. I know who God is. So I'm not going to accept that, Jesus. I don't accept that it's not your time. I think you could do something here. I think you could get involved." Now, does God lie? Is Jesus lying, saying it's not my time, but then he does the miracle, like it clearly it could have been his time? No. He knew that the minute he performed that miracle, he was starting the clock on the countdown to the cross. He wanted to delay getting started as long as he could. It really wasn't his time yet. But even if God isn't wanting to get involved in your life, if you use the language of expectation, even if he didn't want to get involved, he can't help himself but get involved. See, Mary puts out a substance of something hoped for. She gives God something that he has to work with. And she tells the servants, "Do whatever he tells you." She's saying, there's a miracle here. There's a miracle waiting here. I know the God who does miracles. I know the God whose love is greater. I know the God who's going to move you into your possibilities. I know the God who wants to put an abundant, overflowing supply in your life. Do what he tells you. And of course, her faith moves the hand of God, the substance of expectation, the language that she spoke caused God to do a miracle. Wow. What could God do in your life when you're in a situation of humiliation, shortage, lack? Perhaps things haven't gone the way you thought. But maybe you could begin to speak out an expectation. Yeah, things didn't go the way I thought, but God, I'm expecting that you can turn things around. You're the God of the turnaround. You turned the water into wine. You love your people. You do good things. You're a good God. You're faithful. God, you're going to turn up in my life and do this and set these things right in Jesus' name. You bring order in the spirit. Out of chaos, you bring order. Where there is disunity, you bring unity. Where there is discord, you bring harmony. Lord, would you work in my life? Begin to speak out an expectation of what God would do. Can I hear an amen? Amen. What are you expecting? Put out there what God could do in your life. Maybe you need a healing in your body. Maybe there's someone in your family that needs to be saved. Maybe you need a financial breakthrough. This is not just what they teach you in self-talk. This is the Bible speaking out, declaring this language of faith. Can you believe that you could start doing that? What could you put out there that you're expecting that God would do? The second thing this morning is faith is a language of declaration. So you've got to speak expectation, and then you've also got to declare what God could do. We're not going to shrink back and just think God's not able. We're going to declare, yeah, if God said it, he'll do it. I loved what Pastor Beck prophesied this morning. She just declared, this is going to happen in this region. Who felt their faith lift? I put a loud amen to that. What a great prophetic word. We grab hold of that with both expectation and we go, that's a declaration of faith. And we're going to begin to declare that too. We'll declare it as a church. We'll declare it, you know, Australia for Christ, Redlands for Christ. We're going to believe that God would do something mighty in this region. But faith, the language of faith is a declaration. You know, back in the early days, when John and I were first married, we were living on faith. He worked for 5 years as a faith worker, which essentially meant no money. We were in the wilderness. We would pray for money, and $50 and $1 coins was put in our letterbox so we could gas the car. It was miraculous. But, you know, when you're living on faith, it's exciting and it's scary. But John said to me, as only John can, right, Gillian, we've got to have this couple over for dinner. We've got to spend time with them. I really know we've got to spend some time with them. And I'm like, okay, well, John, because I was in charge of the cooking and pretty much still am. I said, John, you know, he's not so much a kitchen person. Very good at other things. You'll love his preaching. And just don't ask him to cook for you. And there he said, we've got to have these people over. I said, great, John, but just so you know, we've only got one frozen chicken and we've got a whole lot of vegetables and this is going to last us all week. And I don't really eat vegetables. You know, I like meat. So I wasn't looking forward to creating something out of the vegetables. So I said, you know, it's going to be a pretty tough week. And he goes, don't worry, Gillian, we're going to sow that chicken. I was like, cool. So I cooked it up really good. I know you haven't had lunch, so let me tell you, I made it juicy and crispy and like the herbs, and I just cooked it really good. You know when you just nail it? It's like somehow everything in the kitchen just went perfect, and that night I produced the best chicken I've ever cooked in my life, probably because it was my only chicken. And I put it out and I thought, well, they won't eat all of it because it was a massive chicken. And I thought, well, you know, nobody ever eats the wings. Like, who eats the wings? Nobody. I'm like, there'll be a bit left over. No. The whole thing, I cooked it too well. The whole thing was devoured. Not a scrap, not a morsel left. I was like, oh, well. And John's words ringing in my ears, we're going to sow that chicken. I'm like, yeah, great. Now we've got vegetables. So I was leaving to go to work the next morning because I worked part-time. And I was studying the rest. And up in the driveway came a van, a white van. And the guy jumps out and goes, delivery for Cameron. Deadpan, not exciting. I said, oh, that's me. I always love a delivery. And he said, I've got 9 frozen chickens for Cameron. I was like, we sowed the chicken and we reaped the chickens. Thank you, Jesus. And then we nearly got sick of chicken, but not quite. I had to come up with all sorts of ways to cook chicken. But you know what? If we just said, oh, well, don't worry, just eat the chicken. But no, there was a declaration. There was a word of faith. We're going to sow it. So we activated the chicken to be more than just a meal that was eaten. I know it sounds so funny, but it's a spiritual principle, my friend. When Pastor Az stands up here and talks about giving, he's enacting a spiritual principle that if you sow your tithe as seed, you open the windows of heaven over your life. It's actually spiritual declaration that, no, I'm not just going to give because I have to or out of obligation. I'm giving because I declare, God, your favor will be on me. I know that you, when I give, you're going to rebuke the devourer. I know that no curse can come near my crops, which is my provision and what God has given me, because of the fact that I am tithing and sowing and creating open heaven of your blessing over my life. Do you believe that today? Some of us have got to open our mouths with a bit of faith and declare that God wants to do something great for us and take what we're doing and add that yeah in the spirit. It's the only way to describe it. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Just put some punch into that. Punch in the spiritual atmosphere. Let's not be vanilla. Let's not be like those self-help people that are just like cruising through life and contemplative. No, no, no. Come on. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Get your declaration on in Jesus' name. And number three, the last key this morning is that faith is a language of promises. It's a language of expectation. It's a language of declaration. And it's a language of promises. God has given us great and precious promises. It says in Hebrews 11:11, it was by faith that even Sarah, remember Sarah who was 99, was able to have a child, though she was barren and too old. She believed that God would keep his promise. And you know those ancients of old, you know how they lived? They tenaciously clung to the promises that God gave them. There she was, 99, I'm going to have a baby. And everybody thought she was crazy. I'm going to have a baby. The Lord has promised me I'm going to have a baby. And she held on tight to the promise that God had given her. See, some of us, we just let these things go so easily. But what has God promised you? Has he promised you that your child who's a prodigal will come back to the Lord? Has he promised you that your marriage is going to be unified and strengthened? Has he promised you that you're going to have healing in your body? Has he promised you that he will provide that job you're believing for? Has he promised you that you're going to know the career path ahead? What is the promise? Has he promised you that you're going to be used powerfully in ministry? Has he promised that you're going to see many people come to the Lord? If we hold tight to that promise and become a promise possessor, it's part of the language we speak, that we speak out the promise. Imagine, you know, if Joseph hadn't actually spoken out what God was going to do, would it have come to pass? He said, you're going to bow down before me. He actually declared and spoke the promise before it came to pass. As promise possessors, this is what we do. We hold to the promise in faith. You know, 2 Corinthians 1:20 says it like this, and this is really important. No matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So what we have is we have God has made promises. So God the Father has made the promises. He's given us an inheritance. He's promised us peace and joy. He's promised us a life of blessing. He's made promises. Through Jesus, they've come to pass. They're there. Through Jesus' death and resurrection on the cross, he said it is finished. So everything that God has promised us has been provided for us. Do you know that you have access even now into the heavenly realms through Christ Jesus, that you are seated in Christ, that you have an inheritance that cannot perish, that through what Jesus has done, you have access? But my friends, there's one thing that often we miss in the language we speak. The verse says, God made the promises, they've come through Jesus, but the yes, the amen, where does that come from? From us. The amen is spoken by us. So my friend, God might have promised you something But you haven't said amen. You haven't said the yes. Come on, Christian. There's a reason we amen. There's a reason we say yes. It's because we are activating what God promised through Christ in our lives. It is not an idle yes. It is a poignant yes. It is a pregnant yes, if you like, so that it would birth what God wants to do in your life. I kind of picture it like this. It's like those promises are resting there. They're already there. Around your life, there's already the promises. Maybe God has not just given you the great and precious promises. Maybe he's given you a very specific promise, a very specific picture, a dream, a vision, a promise. Those things are there. Through Christ, it is already accomplished. But sometimes we don't walk in the promise or the fulfillment of the promise because we simply aren't speaking in faith. Amen. You will do it. God, you will do it. I will see you come through. My God is able. He's going to be all sufficient. My body will be healed. I'm going to walk in the goodness of God. I will not die, but I will live. Have we begun to say the amen? It's on us to say the yes. Are you ready to get your yes activated today? That the promise wouldn't just be up there, but it would live through your yes. Faith is a language of declaration of promises. You know, sometimes people say, oh, God's got all these promises. And when I was young, I used to panic. I'd be like, oh, I have to get my Bible out. What are God's promises? And I'd get my Bible and I'd be trying to open the Bible up and search it and look through it and be like, what are all God's promises? And I'd freak out and I'd be like, I don't know all of God's promises. Okay, my friends, you don't need to know all of them. You just need to know the one that he's given you. What's the one he's given you to hold on to? What's the one he's given you? Don't let go of it. Hold on tight and say a big yes. If the band can come and join, it would be awesome. You know, I really believe that in this room there are people who are, God's just encouraging you. Rise up in faith. Rise up in faith. That thing that you've been believing for. You know, we actually always have to increase our expectation. Sometimes things don't go the way we planned. I've experienced that. Sometimes things don't go on the journey that we think our lives should look like. Does that mean God's promise has failed us? No. I love it. The Bible says, I know the plans I have for you. Not the plan. The plans. He's going to be with us. Every step of those plans. But we've got to keep our expectation high. We've got to keep declaring his faithfulness. And we've got to be willing to say yes and amen when he comes and brings that thing close to us. This young couple here in the black t-shirt. Are you a couple? Yes. Good fuel. Oh, that would be a bad start to the prophecy, wouldn't it? Fortunately, that hasn't happened to me before. I do know people it has. Actually, just a moment. I do have to tell you this one time. Okay, John really hates this, but it's so funny. Okay, so this is the fun part. But one time, I'm just cracking myself up, but I'll quickly move on. But John Cameron and my sister-in-law, Annie Cameron, responded to an altar call to get prayed for, and they got prayed for as a couple. How funny is that? They never lived it down. It was just so great. Anyway, that was a bad moment, wasn't it, for that preacher? Yeah, that's right. But this couple here, I really felt the Lord say there's a promise. There's a promise. I can actually see it over your lives. And God says there's just been a hesitation that it could actually happen. There's been a bit of, yeah. The Lord sees you. The Lord knows. He sees it. And so I'm just putting a yes to your faith today that God will come through. He is a God of resurrection life. He is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. His love and his grace are there for you. And I just want to put a yes. That promise, would you just lift your hands where you're sitting? That's fine. Holy Spirit, right now. Hopefully my microphone survives this. Holy Spirit, right now. We say yes and amen. Yes and amen to this promise. And it come to pass. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you are good. You are faithful in all your ways. greater are your thoughts. Oh, Lord, right now, right now, right now, right now. Holy Spirit, come over them both right now. I'm just going to pray for your husband too. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, right now. Do it, Lord, do it, Lord, do it, Lord. In Jesus' name, powerful God, powerful God, powerful God, powerful God. It's good when the Holy Spirit speaks. Thank you, Jesus. I hope this microphone is okay. Don't get feedback in your ears. But sir in the blue shirt, I had to come a long way for you. Just lift your hands to the Lord. Holy Spirit, just anoint this man. Anoint this man. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. The Lord wants you to know there is greatness in you. There is mighty, mighty works in you. You're part of the construction. You're not to stand on the sidelines and look by and direct traffic, perhaps. The Lord says, no, no, no. You're a mighty man. You're a mighty man. And just like those mighty men defended the field of lentils, you're going to get in and you're part of this construction. And God's going to use you in this house, in this region. God's going to use you. There's greatness. Lord, I just ask right now for the Holy Spirit to come upon him in great power. Just like you came over those mighty men to do the work of God. Holy Spirit, bless them. Bless this family. Bless this couple. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Great and precious promises. Great and precious promises. Fulfill your word according to them in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. You're just a beautiful couple here, I've just got to say. You're just beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. So many beautiful, beautiful people in this church. I want to tell you one more thing before we move into some moment where people can respond to the Lord themselves. But I understand what it's like to hold to a promise because my mom always told me what happened to her. When I was 5 years old, my mom wasn't able to walk. She stopped being able to walk and she'd been to the doctor a few times and he just gave her Valium, said it was in her head, it was the 70s. There was no real help. And my mom started going to church. She attended a small group and they began to pray for her for healing. Over a process of 2 years, nothing changed. And in fact, she got worse. But in one of the home group evenings, as the group prayed for her, laid hands on her, she had a vision, she had a picture. And she saw herself running. At this point, she could just walk, dragging a leg behind her. She had a picture of herself running through the meadow by our house with my sister Jane and I in either hand. And that was the promise. That was the promise that she spoke out and she held to, even as she became more and more paralyzed. Finally, my dad carried her into the doctor's office, and the doctor said, well, you need to fly to Dunedin and have an MRI. So she went and had an MRI, and they saw there was a tumor in her neck. So they rushed her into theater to operate. Now, it just so happened that the world expert on the kind of tumor she had was at Dunedin Hospital teaching people on these tumors. How is the timing of the Lord? And he was a Coptic Christian. So when he met with her, he said, look, anything could happen. This tumor is right entwined in your spinal and the nerves in your spine. One wrong thing and you could be completely paralyzed for life. We just don't know what's going to happen. But Mum was willing to take the risk because she already couldn't move anyway. And as he operated, he got in and he discovered there wasn't one, there were two tumors. And basically later said they would never have operated if they'd seen two on the scan. So NGS, they're getting operated on. She died on the table. That's another story. But as he operated on her, he felt the presence of the Lord. And he later visited my mum at her bedside and he said to her, I felt the Lord was guiding my hand as I was operating. And you know what happened? She got full restoration of movement and she ran through the meadow hand in hand with my sister and I because she was a promise possessor. And she said to that doctor, I'm going to run again. Don't you worry. I'm going to run again. And he was like, well, amen. I'm going to believe that too. But some of us, We let go too quickly of the promise. Be like Sarah. Be like that woman of faith who tenaciously clings to it. Don't let it go. Don't forget what the Lord wants to do in your life. Hold fast to what He promises to do in your life, in Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's message. For more information about our church, please head to beaconchurch.com.au. We look forward to welcoming you to our home.